Well, South Africa celebrates Tourism Month, which is normally celebrated in September with the aim of encouraging South Africans to explore their own country. And it also provides the tourism industry with an opportunity for a sustained and heightened month-long focus on the importance of domestic tourism to the economy. And while we're on that theme, we have in studio Dawn Robinson. She is the CEO of Constitution Hill. Thank you so much for your time and welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So briefly take us through the history of how, Constitution Hill was a Johannesburg prison and that journey where it's now been, it's really where the seat of our Constitution Court sits now.
Okay, so Constitution Hill Precinct is made up of the old fort, which was built in 1892, along with the notorious prisons that existed on site, which is the number 4 and number 5 men's prison and the women's jail. And in early 2000, the Johannesburg Development Agency, together with Gauteng, got together and managed to convince the Constitutional Court judges that the new Constitutional Court, in the light of our new constitution, should be built on the site as well. And that really triggered the regeneration project that exists today. And it was really about providing a home for the Constitution in a place where some of the most horrific things had happened in our past, and building the Constitution Court there as a beacon that never again in our history will the atrocities of the past happen again. So it's a very, very unique space. But not only does it have the court and the 4 prisons, which are now museums and are about to be declared a national heritage sites in November and are part of a listing for World Heritage Sites against, which combines 10 different sites around the country. It also has a number of new land developments that are happening on the site. So later this year, we will start to build the new visitor center, which will also be home to an amazing exhibition on our constitution and will update on a daily basis judgments that have been made in the court so that you can keep abreast with what is happening. And then there's other land parcels which are going out on a PPP quite shortly. And it includes things like hotels, apartment blocks, office spaces. So it's really a multifunctional space, a complete precinct in the heart of Braamfontein that kind of links Hillbrow and Braamfontein and very much connected to the community in which it's found.
It's such a gem and such an important part of our history. What is it like being the CEO of something that is so important?
I was the CEO of Gauteng Tourism for the last 6 years, and I don't think I truly appreciated what was there on the site till I got there. And I started in early January, and I literally spent 3 months just plodding through the archives. We're lucky enough to have the South African Heritage Archive Agency on site as well. And they had all the original documents from the time it was conceived, the master plans, down to things like minutes of meetings and stuff like that. And I just devoured all of this for the first 3 months, which really gave me a sense of what people were trying to achieve and where we need to take this, take Constitution Hill. So it's kind of kicked off with great speed in the early 2000s, and then kind of money ran out. So it's been a bit stagnant in terms of the new developments for the last 4 to 5 years. But now Gauteng Provincial Treasury has given us the funding to build the visitor center, and we're out on PPP on the rest, so it's all systems go again. And it's just the most incredible privilege to be the CEO there.
Coming from Gauteng Tourism, what's your assessment of our tourism industry?
I think the tourism industry is recognized, particularly the way we find ourselves today in South Africa. The tourism sector took a big knock last year, a combination of things. We had the residual effect of the fear of Ebola, Africa being one country and Ebola being all over the place, and added to that the whole visa debacle, which really saw us take quite a big knock. I think it was about 6.8% knock in overall figures to South Africa for the year. But I think where we are now, we've already January 15% up, February 18% up. So we're ready, the tourism sector is resilient. Mm-hmm. And the tourism sector kind of creates a lot of jobs. The figure kind of fluctuates. So it goes from 1 to 10 to 1 to 15, depending on where you are. But for every one tourist, you create 10 to 15 jobs. Mm-hmm. So it has an incredible multiplier effect. And even for Gauteng, Gauteng gets a lot of visitors, p- particularly from what we call our Africa land markets and our Africa air markets. And our Africa land markets, even though we took such a knock last year, were up. Obviously, the air markets did take a bit of a knock as well. But the big thing that we're pushing in this country as part of Tourism Month is domestic tourism, because it's about making tourism available for all, getting all of us to be able to afford to travel. And, you know, to a large extent, it is about affordability. But we still do buy those fancy shoes, bags, and cell phones, but we won't actually kind of be a tourist in our own backyard. In fact, my Twitter handle and stuff is Live Life Local. There's so much that you can do locally in South Africa, locally in Joburg, Gauteng. And I think it's important to get people to try and explore their own backyard.
From your interactions with the stakeholders that you work with within Gauteng, how difficult or easy is it to market Gauteng where people, you know, we work in the Gauteng area, we're always going to work, but the moment the holidays or the long weekend hit, people want to go to the coast and want to go to Cape Town. So how are you making Gauteng stand out and people get to see the gems?
I have a saying that I say Gauteng is a net exporter of tourism, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
We kind of all up and we leave. And that's fine, because the other provinces need us to redistribute some of the wealth that we make here in Gauteng. But what we try to push as Gauteng is events. So last year, Gauteng Tourism and Cabinet approved an event strategy where we kind of trying to draw as many big events to Gauteng. And hopefully by that, we can kind of keep Gauteng as year for that, but also attract people from other provinces. Gauteng Tourism is going on a big drive now into our neighboring land, Africa land markets, trying to show people the lifestyle that we have in Gauteng, the fact that you don't have to go to Paris. You can do all those things you'd get on a plane and go to Paris for and do them locally. And what also helps is the weakening rand and dollar and stuff like that. So people can't really afford to travel overseas as much as they could before. So it's actually the time to harness those, you know, the rands that are left and try to get people to travel internally.
Speaking of that, is this also part of, because if I remember correctly, a former minister of tourism said that, you know, in terms of innovation and tourism around different parts of South Africa, we need to change the business model and find ways of being innovative and, you know, attracting more tourists. Is that also part that's encapsulated in this
Pretty
drive?
Much so. And it's about joint marketing, so not kind of being particular. So, for example, as Constitution Hill, we market jointly with the rest of the inner city, with the red bus that takes people through the inner city. It's not about, it's about cooperation rather than competition. And I think that happens from a South African tourism perspective. We try to sell South Africa together with our neighboring states. Because if you're making that long distance haul from somewhere in Europe or the States, it makes sense that you come to South Africa and maybe you flip across and go to Vic Falls or something like that. So it's about trying to be more flexible in our approach. And like you say, embracing the new things that are happening and not pushing them aside. Yeah.
How easy is it to market Constitutional Hill? Do we have a culture of museums within young people?
We don't. And I've just been looking at our latest figures for the year to date. And the biggest numbers are still coming in from schools, but not enough. You know, it should be 3 times that amount. So we're doing a big push in terms of young people and getting young people involved and getting young people to come to the museum, to the museums, and also aligning what we have to offer with the school CAPS curriculum. So for example, we recently opened an exhibition in partnership with the Indian Embassy, which kind of juxtaposes the life of Mandela and Gandhi. Now that's part of the CAPS curriculum and kids can come and see that. But there's not enough of a museum culture. What Constitutional Hill has become is the hipster haven. You know, so it's the place where you go for those cool events, where people hang out on the weekends. So there's a young audience that come there for other things, but it's about how do you convert them once you're there. So generally when we have these events, we'll open up the museums for free and encourage people to go. Or if it's an event where people are paying or a conference, because we do have conference facilities as well, we'll give away one free ticket to each conference delegate, knowing that they'll never come alone. Yeah. They'll come with somebody else. So it's that kind of thing that you've got to do to actually kind of expose people to what we have to offer there.
And I understand that perhaps maybe on the school side, it's a little bit expensive for, you know, other schools to come into Gauteng and come by bus. Are there engagements between you and perhaps the Department of Education where we look at models where we can subsidize certain schools to be able to come through and visit?
Not in place at the moment, but I've just come out of a meeting with my team where I've been saying to them, so what are we going to do for underprivileged schools in Gauteng can't get here. So, you know, how are we going to package for them? And we also kind of have been in conversation, for example, with the bus, mm-hmm. because it's very difficult to deal with 60 kids coming in on a bus at one go. Mm-hmm. Potentially of putting half the kids onto the bus, let them do the tour of the inner city, while you take the other half and you do educational programs with them at Cornell Link, cross them around like that. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of exploring those kinds of models. Yeah. But we do other things. So we have, you know, we have a range of public programs. So we have sort of rapid response sessions. So if something happens, if there's a landmark judgment in the court or Ayanda Mabula has a painting that causes mm-hmm. a controversy, we'll have a snap kind of rapid response dialogue. We'll bring people into debate, you know, what takes precedent, mm-hmm. the right to dignity or the right to freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. Or we'll put up an exhibition. Currently, we've got exhibitions around Women's Month. The whole thing around the Women's March because it was the anniversary. Mm-hmm. We've got an exhibition up at the moment that looks at the history of posters and how posters were used, particularly in the days of the UDF, mm-hmm. as a symbol of resistance. Mm-hmm. And there's constant ones coming. So there's a lot of temporary exhibitions apart from these permanent exhibitions which exist on site. So we're really about creating dialogue, getting mm-hmm. people to talk. And the young audiences are very much involved in that.
My next question, then, I think it's on that note. How are you getting people to engage with the Constitution and know what's in that book?
So currently we're running a campaign called #IAmConstitution, which really gets people involved with the Constitution, what the Constitution means to them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, some of the landmark judgments that we have this year, I won't mention which they are, but have really helped to kind of uphold the Constitution for what it is. Mm. And people have embraced it and almost personified the Constitution. So I think we've got a lot more pull now, and we're kind of trying to capitalize on it, of getting people to actually engage. But we do things like on a Saturday morning, every Saturday morning, we have a couple of schools that come in and we do a Bill of Rights workshop with them actually in the Constitution Court. We do tours of the Constitution Court. We do art tours. We run programs for kids all the time around constitutionalism, but I think it's really about making more of an impact with the adults. Mm. We've been exploring the possibility of maybe for the first time conceptualizing an African conference on constitutionalism in Africa. Mm. And we're hoping that if we pull that off, we could maybe have that as the first conference that happens in our new conference facility, which is part of the new building that's going up this year.
As the CEO of the Constitutional Hill, what keeps you up at night? What do you stress about?
Are the builders going to get in sight on time? I'm going to get to build that building so that Treasury doesn't take my money away. I think I'm just very passionate and excited about what I'm doing there. Mm-hmm. I've got an amazing team. I've just told them there's no Christmas for us unless we deliver everything that we promised to deliver before the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I think we will. So what keeps me up is new ideas, looking at new innovative ways of actually attracting things onto the site. One of the things that we're doing is we're converting the old mess hall, which is obviously where the guards would eat, not the prisoners, into a really, really funky upmarket restaurant. Mm. And we're putting that out to tender, and it's just been all approved and beautifully designed by an architect. So, you know, trying to attract more feet onto the thing, trying to expose more spaces. Every day I find more spaces. Do you know there's tunnels underneath the ramparts?
Wow.
There was a newspaper article the other day that possibly these tunnels link up with the tunnels under Park Station.
Yes,
so
I've
it's
heard
just
of that.
Amazing things that you discover on a daily. Mm. I mean, the best views of Johannesburg up on the ramparts, watch the sunset.
Mm.
So we're thinking about maybe kind of doing Friday sunset sessions up on the ramparts. Mm. So it's just ideas on how we kind of really make this iconic site, which everybody, including yourself, need to visit.
Definitely. So in terms of plans going forward, what are some of the current programs that you're going to be rolling out that people can participate in?
We have a number of what we call signature iconic events that we do. So we do a big walk, which is happening on the 26th of March next year, which is the We the People Walk. And it's really about, it's part of Human Rights Month. And it's about kind of, and we have We the Children Walk. So the children walk in defense of children's rights. We have things like Josie Yaka and Basha Uhuru. Basha Uhuru is a June the 16th festival that happens for the youth. Josie Yaka is a creative entrepreneurial festival. So we have a number of these key things that we do in terms of large events. But then we have a whole range of temporary and permanent exhibitions that are constantly coming through. And what we try to do is to host an exhibition that kind of starts to ask questions and then wrap around that dialogues, children's programs and other programs so that we can kind of cluster things in that way. So we're busy planning next year's events now, and we've got a number of big, we've got an international event coming, exhibition coming in from the States in February that was showcased at the Joburg Art Fair, and that's going to be good as well. And yeah, so we open to, and we constantly have 3 or 4 people a day coming with some idea, and we inevitably embrace it and make it happen.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for your time. It's really amazing.
Thank you.
That was Dawn Robinson. She is the CEO of Constitution Hill.